Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Our U.S.-based restoration specialists are experts dedicated to helping solve your identity theft issues. And all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. So we'll reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Help protect your information this tax season with LifeLock. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.
Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Welcome to Shit 90 Shows taught me. I'm Jess Sterling here with my co-host Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
No, we're not doing that.
We're talking two episodes and that's the one you're going to pull from? How dare you? How dare you? I was expecting to be asked what I thought about sex. Dadoy.
That was a oop of a mistake.
Oh, God. If you didn't know, we're here talking season 2, episode 6 and 7 of Boy Meets World. Our first double up for, if you somehow missed that announcement last episode, we are now doubling up on the episodes simply for the purpose. We didn't get any feedback saying, no, don't do it. So I assume everybody's okay with it. Yeah. Basically, the purpose is that we don't want to be locked into one show for like 3 years at this pace. So we figured, and some of these are kind of like, do we really need to spend an entire episode on Who's Afraid of Corey Wolf?
Yeah, no, I think that this was the impetus of like really of it all. Yeah. Like, it's like, I can't spend an hour and a half talking about Who's Afraid of Corey Wolf. Like, it's not happening.
No, if we were, it would have been like a rage podcast of us being like, what the fuck is going on right now?
But it probably still will be, because
it still will be for like at least only half the podcast, at least.
Right. Are we going to be known as like Halloween haters? Because I don't think Oh my God, you're right.
We really do seem to hate Halloween. If you're looking at our track record of not liking Halloween Town, we made fun of Casper the Ghost a lot. We did like it, but we made fun of it a lot.
Yeah.
We didn't like the Dawson's Creek Halloween episode we just saw.
Yeah. We're Halloween haters.
Did we dislike the season 1 Halloween episode? Did they have one for
Women's
World?
I don't even remember what it was. If it was anything, I mean.
Oh, Feeny gave out rulers.
Oh, actually, I did like that.
Okay. Yep. All right. Yeah. So We liked one of the like six things we've covered that were, listen, we're not Halloween bitches, okay? Like, don't come for us. I love it. We're already into it. We're already here.
We like getting presents. We like Christmas.
We do. We both love Christmas and we both love our birthdays. So yeah, we like things.
Holiday enough.
Just not Halloween.
Yeah.
Anyway. We're here. We are talking Boy Meets World. Mm-hmm. I have a 90s nightcap because I need one to talk about Who's Afraid of Corey Wolf. I am drinking a Barefoot Riesling.
Sounds so yummy.
Oh, no, wait. The Sutter Home Riesling. It was one of the two, but it's good.
Yeah, same difference. Mm-hmm. Guess what?
Do you have a Trader Joe's drink?
I was at the TJ's, as one does.
As one does.
And I was, like, scoping out the aisles, and 19 Crimes... It came out with like another Snoop Dogg wine. So Snoop Dogg has a new wine.
Oh shit.
It's called Cali Rosé. So it's just like Snoop Dogg's rosé. So it's pretty good. I like the red better, but I like red better. I like red best. But it's good. I don't know how
you could do a red wine. Oh, I need the sweet.
It's kind of sweet. It's kind of sweet. But no, it's pretty good for, you know, what it is. It's more like tastes more like a white Zinfandel more so than like a dry rosé. So it's pretty good.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. I hope Chappelle's listening.
I'm going to send it to him. Wine. Not the wine itself, because you can't ship alcohol from New Jersey.
I was just going to say, I can't do that, unfortunately. A photograph? Yeah, send him a photograph.
He'll appreciate it.
Yeah. Other than that, not too much. I'm going on in my life. I'm finishing up Sharp Objects. I have like two episodes left, I think. So I'll be done with that soon. Very good. Did I tell you I stopped down to listen to the audiobook? I don't remember if I talked about this. So I finished that in like 2 days. And now I'm watching Sharp Objects. Once I finish that, I've heard The Industry on HBO is very good.
I've never heard of The Industry.
Here's the thing. I have it on good authority from my friend Deidre. She watched Bridgerton and she liked it. She says that the industry is like Bridgerton on steroids in terms of like, it's like, I don't know if it's like pornographic.
So instead of one episode, a full on orgy, orgasm, like extremeness.
Apparently it's a lot.
All right. Then I'm all in.
Which I'm intrigued and I want to watch it. Yeah. So that's what's next on my list. How
is
about
it just
you?
Sex or is it just like a Regency? Is it historical?
No, I don't think it's his. I think she said it's like something about a business market thing. She said it was really good, though.
I thought that it was just another Regency drama that had more sex in it.
No, she just means like in terms of like the sex content.
Oh, yeah. I can just
probably not for you.
I can just go on. Never mind. I'm not going to say this.
but anyway, what have you been? Any watching new? Anything
new? No, I'm not watching anything. Not a thing. Not a thing.
That's fine.
Just hizzing on the club hizzy.
What the fuck does that mean?
I'm just hanging out on Clubhouse.
Just hizzing on the what a?
I'm just on the Clubhouse. You can't possibly understand. No, you're not too old.
I can't.
For it. I'm too old for it. Let me live my life.
For whatever hizzy whatever is.
I'm just hanging out on the Clubhouse.
Okay. That's fine.
Yeah. It sounds fun.
Yeah, I believe it.
I have a Friday show.
Your thing is like Clubhouse and my thing is D&D lately. And that's what we do. That's what we spend our time doing.
I have a show every Friday on the Clubhouse through the RHEP Clubhouse network. It's not really a network, but and we talk about pop culture.
Yeah, see, that's amazing. Like you're doing meaningful things with your time. Meanwhile, I'm fighting bad guys with my forced gnome.
What? You're what?
My forest gnome. She's a gnome.
You have a gnome, Jess?
That's what I play as. Yeah, she's a forest
gnome. You're a gnome?
Yes, my character is a gnome.
I thought you had a gnome.
No, she is a gnome.
A that garden gnome? Is. You're no, a garden gnome?
A forest gnome?
You're a
gnome.
Fucking she's lawn ornament.
She's not a lawn ornament.
You're embarrassing.
Oh my God.
Do you have
God.
A pointy hat, bitch?
No, she wears a 10-gallon hat, actually.
Why would you give her a big hat?
Because she wants to wear it to make herself taller. That's, like, the joke.
Jeez.
Anyway, now that we're completely off the rails.
I thought that we were heading towards the same direction in life. And I feel like...
You're heading towards Clubhouse and I'm veering off the cliff to D&D.
I mean, I'm not saying...
We need a podcast where I just explain Dungeons & Dragons to you. Because literally the entire time you'd be like, wait, what?
Yeah, actually that would be pretty funny. We should put that on the books.
People would love it. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. I don't understand any of what you're saying.
I play as a forest gnome. She's a ranger. She has a bow and arrow.
Okay.
And she rides a mini horse.
People, I'm assuming she can pick any character in a world.
There's a lot of different races, yes.
Anything. And she chooses a gnome of all the things that you can be. You choose a gnome.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you want to be like a mermaid or like a
unicorn? You can't be a mermaid. The mermaid is not an option.
Why can't like a like.
Like an elf?
Like an angel? Like something?
There are ones that are kind of like angels. Yeah.
But out of everything, you choose like a gnome.
She has purple hair and she dyes it with beet juice.
Gosh.
I wish people could see your face right now. It is precious and I love it. It's so funny. I knew you'd love that the most.
Why can't she just take her gold that she won and go to the salon?
Because that's not what she does. That's not who she is.
I heard that the hair barn is giving away some good Groupons.
Oh my god. She would go to the hair barn. Lolly is a character that would go to a hair barn, by the way.
Thing is named Lolly?
Yes, that's her name, Lolly.
That's one of Jaclyn Hill's Shih Tzu's names.
Oh, great. Glad. Actually not her full name, but that's her nickname, so we could leave it.
Yeah, I don't think I need to know her full name right now.
I don't think you do either.
Yeah. We'll save that anyway, for another day.
Moving on to Boy Meets World, because we have two episodes to get to today.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be hard because I'm like a little baffled and there's more that I want to know, but we should just move forward.
We could, honestly, we could have a D&D segment every episode too if we really
I don't want that. I don't want that. No. I don't want that. No, please.
Oh my God.
We can have one designated podcast as a bonus podcast that you tell me what I need to know about D&D. I don't want a D&D segment, please, for the love of God. No.
Anyway, we're covering two episodes of Boy Meets World. We're talking season 2, episode 6, Who's Afraid of Corey Wolf? And season 2, episode 7, Wake Up Little Corey. Mm-hmm. So I assume we're going to spend most of our time on Wake Up Little Corey because... Who's Afraid of Corey Wolf was a fucking shit show of an episode.
I hated it.
I hated it so much. It's the worst episode we've watched.
I think it's the worst episode that we've watched of Boy Meets World. I really do. Like, I can't think of anything from season one that I disliked more than this episode. Like, even, like, you know, we were thinking about, like Father No, like one of those, or the Spelling Bee one.
The Spelling Bee we did not like.
We didn't like, but it I wasn't, hated this like, one more. We tolerated it. Like
this
it was fine.
This one was a useless episode. There was like no lesson learned. It was weird. The formatting was weird because it was like flashbacks, which is unusual.
Yeah,
for
very
it to
unusual.
Do.
Yeah. So it was definitely, it was meant to be a Halloween episode, of course. Like, this aired on October 28th, 1994, so that tracks. It's not like Dawson's Creek that's, like, airing Halloween episodes in the middle of May. Like, it's not like that, but... Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, Corey was... The thing that happened that started this all was that Feeny told Corey that a wolf escaped from the Philadelphia Zoo.
Right.
And he shouldn't leave his trash out, which is probably good advice because even raccoons can get into trash.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
And then he wound up, like, hearing something in the bushes and he got, like, bit by something in his bush.
Right.
So from there, he talks to Eric and Eric tells him that he could be turning into a werewolf because he showed him an article of, like, the National Enquirer.
Yeah. Shades of season one, Eric, in this episode of like just trolling. Really trolly towards
like,
Corey.
Also, Corey's supposed to be like 13 or something, and he believes this bullshit.
He's an idiot. We know that. He's being really stupid. Like, he's growing chest hair or whatever. Oh, yeah. And Eric basically congratulates him on going through puberty.
So Corey's, that's like, what it convinced. Is. Like, this was like a metaphor for what it's like for a young boy to go into puberty.
For sure. Do we think that it was, like, coincidental that something in the bush is what bites Corey? Because I feel like that's also a metaphor for puberty. Like, because he's growing hair in weird places.
Yeah.
He's having, like, feelings about women, right? He's like, now I wonder how cold the water is on Baywatch.
Like, yeah, now he wants to know about, like, all the girls on the Baywatch.
Right. So he's, like, he's going through it.
I have a quick question.
Yes.
Can you be a werewolf on D&D?
Kind of, yeah. There's,
well, there we go.
There's a character called a shifter, and they can, like, shift into wolves. So, yeah, yeah, kind of. It's not called a werewolf, but yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you what the best part of this episode was.
Well, there's two things.
When it ended. There's three things. Number one, I actually was tickled every single time Corey, like, did his, like, oh thing.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And, like, I even liked it when he was, like, when he, like, did it, like, subtly, like, when Alan was talking about him and he was like, a-oo. Like, I thought that was funny, like, pretty much every single time he did it. So that was, like, one thing that I liked. I also like Sean coming over with, like, his Corey costume. And he's like,
hey, guys,
I just want to be cool like Sean. Poo, 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 poo. And, like, did his whole, like, little bit. Like, I liked that, too. So there was some things that
there were a few things. I just think that, for me, the A storyline is Corey being the werewolf. And to me, that was the worst storyline. The only redeeming qualities. Yeah. I loved the saga of Alan and the Coke cans. I was all in. I was all in on him and the Coke cans. Like, the whole thing was that there was supposedly a thief who hid diamond rings in cans of Coke. So Alan kept buying cans of Coke from the grocery store and, like, shaking them.
Yeah.
That was great. I also loved the Sean aspect as well.
Yeah. Like, do you think that if you heard a rumor that some robber stole, like, five three-carat diamond rings, then hid them in Coke cans, do you think that you would go out and try to find the diamond ring?
No, especially if I'm not a Coke drinker. Like, I'm not going to buy cans of soda that I'm not going to drink just to try to find these, like, a needle in a haystack type of situation. No.
Yeah. It's a 3-carat ring. That's a humongous ring.
That's a big-ass fucking diamond for people who don't know diamonds. 3 carats is quite large. I'd say I would guess the, like, the average engagement ring probably has, like, a carat.
Yeah.
Maybe a carat and a half if you have, like, the tiny diamonds around it, like a halo cut or something. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot. 3 carats and 5 3-carat diamonds are pretty fucking big.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, maybe I would buy, like, a couple of cases just to try my hand at it. Why not?
People in the grocery store would be so annoyed because everybody would be, like, shaking cans to hear if they were in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that storyline, like, I thought was cute and fun, and I just did not care at all. And what pisses me off the most is that this episode contains, obviously not the first Corey Topanga kiss, because we did see that.
Second.
But it's the second kiss, and it kind of is like
a good kiss.
It's a good kiss, and it's also kind of like another step in the direction of their relationship, right? And it pisses me off that it gets fucking shoved in this episode. That, we have to deal with Corey trying to get silver bullets and shit.
Yeah, I would say if anybody wants to rewatch this episode, to just skip to the last 5 minutes so you can see the kiss. I gotta tell you, that kiss was better than the kiss in It Takes Two between between the dad and Kirstie Alley.
You're so right. No, you're so right. It was. Yeah. It was. And we also get shades of season one Topanga, because she comes dressed as a damsel, one is not who's not in distress, but who's very together and in complete control of her destiny. And I was like, shades of season one Topanga. Yeah, I did
too. It was really good. Like, I was like, good, like, because it wasn't like, oh, like, the celestial, like, placements of the universe told me that, like, I'm meant to be. So it wasn't, like, quote-unquote weird, which, once again, like, if you're just picking up now in season two, my stance has always been Topanga would fit right in with any LA millennial buying like crystals and like going to see her astrologer. Like she would fit right in. So it's not that weird in today's standards, but back then, I liked that bit with Topanga.
And their scene was very cute because she has the line of like, I see Corey, the same Corey I've known since I was three. Like that was like, I just love that chunk of scene. But it's like saddled with like all these other stupid things of Corey going to get ice cream at a place we've never seen before.
Yeah. So
in the middle of the day where he's late for English class, like what are you doing?
Yeah. So let's get into, I think the thing that we have our biggest issue with maybe is the fact that, you know, Corey not only has like a strange urge to watch Baywatch, but he has like, I guess, the urge to go get frozen yogurt during his lunch hour during school, where there's no way that he's allowed to leave school premises during lunch, because that
makes no sense.
No, that's a privilege that you get when you're a senior in high school and not a seventh grader.
And why wouldn't he bring Sean? Like, it's weird to me that he's there alone. To go.
I know. Yeah. How did he wind up there? Where is this yogurt place? Why are they like having like a creepy like psychic in the back of the yogurt place?
That was so sketchy. Come here, young man. Sketchy. Come in the back room of my ice cream shop. Like so freaking weird. And like the whole scene with him and her was so weird.
Okay,
and
just, so this
it
is
didn't
like,
feel like Boy Meets World.
No,
at
it
all.
Didn't feel like Boy Meets World. So like they had to pay $5 to get a psychic reading from her name, I think, is Madame Ospinskaya. And she knows all, and there's some things that she knew, like, I think that she probably overheard that he's, like, werewolf boy, but, like, some of the stuff, like, felt like kind of, like, how did she know, like, he got bit? Like, how did she know that he was going through changes? I don't know. But basically, she says that, you know, it's true, you're turning into a werewolf, and there's three things that you should anticipate. One, you're going to have the appetite of a wolf, so you're going to want to have a taste for things that you've never eaten before. Number two, a pentagram is going to show up in your hand of some capacity.
Yeah.
And
Pentagon, pentagram, same thing.
Same thing. And then for $5 more, she reveals that, you know, a girl that Corey deeply cares for, Corey is going to want to kill because of the madness of the wolf. Corey's like, well, you know, that's not going to happen because there's no girl that cares for me. But he then realizes later on when all these things start becoming true that Corey cares for her.
Him. Right, so he, like, eats the ball of paper to hide his note from Mr. Turner, and
that's just called like, pica. He needs to just take some iron pills, and you'll be okay.
Yeah. He holds Mr. Turner's keychain, which is the Pentagon keychain, and then, obviously, Topanga, they're going to, like, a Halloween party together, which seems like it's a date because of the way Sean is, like, mentioning it. It seems like it's kind of like a date.
Okay, so this Halloween party.
Yeah.
They are supposed to go to this Halloween party, but Topanga doesn't show up till 9 o'clock. Why are these seventh graders leaving for a party at 9 o'clock? That is so late. Who's
throwing
this party?
There's so many questions for this whole episode.
Who's throwing this party? Why is it so late? If I was a seventh grader, I would probably show up at 7 o'clock. And it's like, so, yeah, why are they allowed to go to this party? It's so freaking late.
It doesn't make any sense. Although I will say that Morgan had a really good showing in this episode because she simply was dressed as the devil and barely said anything.
Yeah.
So good on Morgan.
Yeah. I'm sure you loved that.
I did love that. I thought she was very funny and she's like, oh, he can have some of my gummy worms. Like, very nice of you, Morgan.
That was a big thing of gummy worms.
That was a huge thing.
I'm kind of jealous.
It's a lot. They look like shitty ones, though. They're not the trolley ones. The trolley ones are where it's at.
Oh, so, like, they probably, like, are, like, get hard soon. And
I don't think they're very good.
I can but go for a gummy worm.
So this, like, the only good part, honestly, was, like, when Corey and Topanga at the end, and then that's it. That's the end of the episode. Like, they're what the fuck was this about? Like, what even was this episode? And he looked ridiculous with the werewolf that aged so poorly. Him dressed as a werewolf when he looks in the mirror. Yeah, it looked awful.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the point is to show that Corey is growing up. Like, he has that little dad and son moment where, like, Alan's like, oh, you're going through changes. Like, remember the time when you used to play with a fake razor, but now, like, maybe you can get a real razor. Maybe it's time and, you know, shit like that. But
I just wish they had shown puberty in a different way than this.
I mean, didn't we have a puberty episode not too long ago that was a better showing?
Not for nothing, but the next episode is kind of a puberty episode in a way as well. So I think we're just kind of gearing up for a lot of puberty in season two. They're at that age where I think that's going to be the subject of a lot of these episodes.
I mean, it's fine.
I just think it just wasn't a great showing for a lot of the characters. It was just kind of like one note and just hit that one note over and over and over again. Like, bat me over the fucking head with puberty. I understand. You know, it just wasn't for me, honestly.
Yeah.
I really, really enjoyed episode 7, though.
Yeah. Well, let's you know, give it, you know, after the credits, Fiending finds out that you know, the wolf did not escape after all. It was hanging out with the cockteals and, you know, Corey is like, oh, so, like, I guess it wasn't a wolf that bit me. And he goes into the bushes and it turns out it was a bunny.
Yeah. And there's no way you'd be able to fucking catch a fucking wild bunny, by the way.
Oh, the bunnies are fast. The fact that he's able to just...
Fuck yeah. The fact that he just picks this shit up like it doesn't even run away, that is a domesticated bunny right there.
I really want a bunny. I really want a bunny really badly.
They're fine. They're good. Like, they're good. I think that the sad part is, like, a bunny in a cage is kind of sad just because, like, they're meant to, like, run. Oh,
I know, but maybe that, you know, you're not supposed to put the bunny, they're supposed to be free roaming. Have you ever seen a lion head rabbit?
Yes, the ones with, they're huge, right? And they're fluffy.
Well, they have, like, funny hair. They're, like, long-haired. Oh, it fluffs
out, right?
Yeah, they're long-haired bunnies. They have, like, bangs. I love lion hair bunnies. And also, I like Holland Lops. I like dwarfs. Bunnies, rabbits are, like, my number two favorite animal.
No kidding. I grew up with bunnies. We had bunnies growing up a lot.
Really?
Yep. I had Buckwheat was one of mine, and I had one named Peter. I think my brother had one named, like, Fuzzball or something, and Squigs. Mm. There was Squigs because he had, like, a squiggle on him. Wow. But, yeah, we had a lot of bunnies, actually. They kept mating, so we kept getting more. Oh,
yes.
That's what happens with bunnies.
Yeah, I've always wanted one. I've never had a bunny. I've only had, well, I mean, I've had a couple of animals, but one day I want a bunny.
They're cute. I just think, like, in my mind, it would always be like, why get a bunny when I can get a dog?
I guess, like, that's things a good escalate point. Very I guess quickly. I can just get a small dog and
just get another one.
Basically the same just thing.
Third dog.
Yeah, just another fluff ball, another shih tzu for the books.
Yeah, especially because you're like, you could get like 7 dogs and they still wouldn't equal to 1 Winston. So I think you're fine.
I mean, I guess that's a good point.
In terms of weight and size and everything.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Big so. Boy. Yeah, so, I mean, this episode, we're just not a fan of, we're not really Halloween people, but that's not even it, because we love the episode, the Boy Meets World, the infamous season 5 episode, where it's, like, the Scream, so it's not like we don't like Halloween or quote-unquote scary stuff, it's just that this was just dumb, you know?
The formatting was off. It didn't feel like a Boy Meets World episode. It just felt like not even funny when it was supposed to be funny. So, no,
and especially compared to, like, how, in my opinion, intelligent the next episode is.
Exactly.
And prior episodes are. It's, like, it was just bizarre. And it's, like, and I also want to preface, like, we're probably going to be wrapping this up, like, but I also want to say, like, you know, not now that we're doing 2 episodes, it's not like all 2 episodes we're going to, like, from now on, we're going to rush one episode and then properly cover the other. It's just that this is a fucking shit episode. And what are we going to say about it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, am I going to spend 40 minutes on shitting on this? You don't need to hear me shit on this episode. It fucking sucked. And I never want to see it again.
Exactly. We don't need to spend we don't need to go through the beat by beat of this episode and how bad it was when we have an episode that we liked that it was paired with. That like there's a lot more to get into the meat. Honestly, when you think about it, that Halloween episode felt like I watched 15 minutes of solid content or 10 minutes of solid content. So, this episode was like felt like a 40 minute episode. Yeah.
Behind the curtain, normally for Boy Meets World, which is only a 20 minute show, normally my notes are between 3 to 5 pages, not quite, but 3 to 4 pages, 3 to 4 pages. Cause you know, we go beat by beat. We like are very, and I have trivia, yada, 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 but 2 pages this week. And it's because nothing fucking happened.
Yeah. Nothing happened. Yeah. So let's move on to the episode that we actually want to talk about more.
I know.
Wake up little Corey.
Yes.
So for those who like didn't rewatch this episode, basically they in Mr. Turner's class, he wants to get them talking about love, sex, and scandal because of the book they're reading, Much Ado About Nothing.
Are we back to Scarlet Letter?
No, this is Shakespeare. They're talking Much Ado About Nothing.
Much to do. I've never heard of that Shakespeare play in my life.
No?
No, I've never
haven't
heard
actually
of that.
They've never. No, it's that. Not much to. It's Much Ado. Much Ado.
Much Ado. They really go through stuff really fast. Like the last episode, I was went over say the same Lord thing. Of the Flies, and then
Grapes of Wrath. That book is fucking forever long.
It's like this curriculum is really. This is an AP class. Yeah, it's like normally in like normal English classes, you cover like 2 books of marking a semester. Period. Yeah,
yeah, no, they're like 1 book a week. Come on, guys, cranking them out.
It's like you gotta like really rush. I think Mr. Turner's class is probably the hardest class of them all, to be honest.
It really
with
has
you.
To be because like everyone is sleeping. They don't give a shit about this assignment because they're like, we can't really. I was shocked.
Like, why is Topanga sleeping? Like, Topanga, you are an A student. Why are you sleeping
well,
in this
class? Well,
you
know it's bad because she's like, we can't relate to these characters, whatever. Yeah. And Mr. Turner's like, bullshit. There's a lot of, like, you can definitely relate to them on the love, sex, and scandal stuff. And so he's
we're
going to.
Can they? Because they're in 7th grade.
They shouldn't be able to, but the scandal for sure. But yeah, so Mr. Turner decides that what they're going to do is like interview each other about love, sex, and scandal. And like not only each other, but like people in the hallways, their parents, whatever, whatever. Of course, Feeny, I'm sorry. You are like the biggest micromanager I've ever seen in my life. Like
he
this
really
guy.
Is.
And only He's to Mr. Turner.
Always up Mr. Turner's ass. Always. It doesn't matter like what the lesson is or what he's supposed to be doing. Like, Feeny's like always up Turner's ass. And it's like, once again, we go through this whole old school versus new school teaching methods. And I thought that we already went over that, like, we can do both teaching methods and it's okay. But let Mr. Turner experiment. And, you know, like, there's nothing, I know, like, this is not like a television production class, but if you can teach your kids about something a different way, they'll get something out of it. Like you don't have to be so specific. Like read the book, do a book report. Like it doesn't work.
Yeah. And here's the thing: you'd think that Turner would have earned a little bit of Feeny's trust after the last time when like Corey and Sean both knew their shit, right? So that proved Mr. Turner right. But here we are. Feeny is like giving Turner a hard time, saying you're fueling the fire instead of putting it out. Feeny is literally wants to like preach fucking abstinence or something.
Yeah, Feeny was a little like a little conservative, like a lot conservative in this. Like
it was too much.
Yeah, he would have rather like nobody talk about sex at all. Like, you know, learn outside of school about sex, which is actually like the opposite, in my opinion, on what you should do, because
you want to control the narrative.
If you don't learn from like an adult, like an educated adult, then they're going to learn from each other. And then there's going to be miscommunication about sex and love and like, you know, all that stuff. We see all the time that uneducated people leads to, you know, unplanned pregnancies and all that jazz.
Mistakes happen when people aren't educated about it. And this is the, here's the thing, Feeny. This is even fucking health class. Like, I'm sorry, but he's teaching English literature. This shit comes up. These topics come up. Yeah.
And then like, if Feeny has a problem with what is taught in school, you know that Feeny has this look at this list of like 100 books that they have to get through in one semester.
Yeah.
It's like if you don't want them to read this book, then just cross it off and then have them cover, I don't know, The Outsiders.
Yeah. Anything else? Yeah. Feeny is the one who wants to like freaking pencil every type of curriculum, like just nickel and dime every single thing that Turner does, and it's so infuriating. Yeah,
if I was Turner, I would not feel comfortable at my workplace because of how up, like you said, micromanaging. He is just up Turner's ass. He's
all over him. And this is the thing, like, Turner connects with his students. We've seen it many times now.
Yep.
He gets results. And I think that, like, Turner sees himself not just as an educator, but, like, as a mentor. He's molding young minds.
And those are the types of students that you those are the types of teachers that you remember for years and years and years to come. You don't remember.
Yeah, and these are the teachers that, like, students will go to if they have an issue, right? Like, if they need to talk about something, they're not going to Feeny. No offense, Feeny, but, like, they don't see you as a mentor. They see you as a disciplinarian.
Yeah.
They're not going to go to you. And so, like, I think that Turner, while Turner's, you can't blame Turner for what ends up happening, I don't think. Like, they stay too late in the editing
room. I don't even have a problem. Okay, ultimately, Sorry, Jess.
Go ahead.
And I'll respond.
Yeah. Basically, what ends up happening is Topanga, so it's boy-girl pairs. Topanga and Corey are paired up. And they have a ton of footage. They interview a ton of different people saying different things about love, sex, scandal, etc. And they're going to edit it all. They tell each other's families, I don't know why they did this, but they tell each other's families that they're at each other's houses, right? So no one's looking for them. They fall asleep in the editing room of the school. Also sus that, like, Topanga's, like, resting her eyes on the floor. And then Corey is, like, editing something. And the next scene, he's next to her on the floor. Like, you had to lay down, Corey. Like,
Corey moved himself. But the issue that I have with this is not so much that they fell asleep at school. It's more so that I guess the deadline for this project was so soon that they felt like they had to get rushed and like work overtime to finish their project. It's like Turner's like, okay, here's this assignment. You have to work boy-girl pairs. So that means, like, you probably can't, like, have somebody, like, come over, like, there. And it's, like, it's editing software. So
I'm wondering, what about the rest of the pairs? When did they edit?
Exactly. So, and you know Topanga's not going to wait till the last minute to do her project. But I think that Turner's, like, you have, like, 2 days, finish this project. So it's, like, unrealistic deadlines, in my opinion. So, of course, they have to work overtime. Maybe they just took too much footage. Maybe that's
partially it. Yeah. I just also think it's weird that they didn't just say, hey, we're at school, like, editing. Why did you need to tell them that you're... Because Topanga said something like, oh, I don't want them wanting me to come home and eat dinner. And it's like, just say you're at the school editing. Like, I don't know. And I don't really understand either how they get stuck in there, like no teacher before they lock up goes and checks their rooms. Maybe not.
I don't think so. I mean, when you were in high school, like, did you never like stay late where there was like, you know, like after theater practice?
Guess I was there, but I don't know. It's just weird. But like, so let's get into
do you remember they start like bringing down the gates and then you're like, oh my god, I'm gonna be stuck in here.
Gotta leave. Yeah, oh my god. I had so many nightmares about like missing the bus after staying late at school and stuff before I could drive. Oh my god. I don't know why I had so many nightmares about that, but I did.
I lived like pretty much across the street from school. So I was not concerned about but I was still, you know, we talked about this, still late.
Yeah.
I just showed up whenever, just like Corey, 40 minutes late to English class after lunch.
Yeah, ridiculous.
40 minutes. But
That's the class old is like episode. Almost over.
Yeah.
But yeah. So let's talk about before we get into the repercussions of them falling asleep at the school. Like, let's get into what?
All the people that they interview.
Yes. Yeah. So yeah. What Topanga says that she thinks that boys think sex is the end goal, but that sex is for a very special time and place.
I think that's like a correct thought. Like, I think that, mm-hmm. you know, women and men get brought up thinking about sex in a very different way. I think, I mean, and this is very stereotypical. I am, of course, everybody is an individual, but I think that I grew up with a very romantic-sized thought about sex. You know, you mm-hmm. fall in love, and then you have sex, and it's an intimate moment between two people that love each other. And, mm-hmm. like, but I think that for guys, stereotypically, it's more so of, like, a check or, like, a notch on their belt.
Yeah, I
like,
think
like, gotta check it off. Like, gotta get it done.
Yeah, it's like societal norms are what mm-hmm. kind of are shoved on people growing up, right? Where like, it always reminds me of the episode of Friends where the men and the women, they're talking about sex and how men and women view it differently. And they're saying that like, oh, well, like, oh, well, we like the stand-up comic who starts before, you know, Bon Jovi, but that's not the reason we bought the ticket. And the women are like, yeah, well, we like the stand-up comic. He kind of warms things up. They're talking about, like, foreplay and stuff. He kind
yeah,
of, like,
yeah,
warms things
up.
I
was catching on yeah. to that, yeah.
He kind of, like, warms things up for us, you know? And if you give up the stand-up comic, you're going to be at home alone playing that song on your radio or whatever. But it kind of, like, that's how what it reminds
that
me
episode
of.
Like, Friends is that? I swear I've watched Friends, but
it's a very small scene in an episode, so I don't remember.
Okay,
but yeah, it's like, yeah, it's like men and women. Again, society pushes these things on us where, and exactly what happens in this episode is what we yep. see. A woman yep. has sex, she's a slut. A man has sex, he's a hero. Yep. And that is like infuriating to watch, but that's why this episode was so well done. Like the yep. way they covered the topic was perfect, yeah. I thought.
Actually, this is one of two episodes that got a TVPGD rating.
I'm sorry, what the fuck is that?
TVPGD. So PGD means that it is, the D stands for intensely suggestive dialogue. And this was one of two Boy Meets World episodes.
Interesting.
That were rated this. Okay. And basically, it's just suggestive dialogue. But it's right. still under the PG umbrella. So it's still meant for kids, but it has that D to say, look, like there's...
Sex is talked about.
It's still appropriate for kids. It's not like we're like dropping F-bombs or like showing right. anything, but we're talking about it.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, and I think this is like a very, to me, the way they handled this was perfect, right? So let's talk about some of what the other people had said about love. Sean was like, oh, I fall in love 5 times a day.
Yeah.
Which was very Sean.
Very Sean, yeah. Mm-hmm. And very Eric. I think that they are very similar sometimes.
They are, yeah.
Joey the Rat had a lot of opinions. Like, he had, like, a very, like... you know, stereotypical, like, monogamous opinion on sex and love, which is surprising from Joey the Rat. But
yeah, that's what I really liked, though, is I felt like this episode not only had a really great moral lesson and teachable moment, but they pulled in so many side characters and kind of rounded them out a little bit more with like these little bits of clips of them.
It definitely shows a different side of Joey the Rat, because we just see him being, you know, just like an instigator for the bullies. I would have liked to see what Frankie's opinion on love and sex was.
Same. I was so disappointed. I felt like that would have been that. I don't know. He wasn't in the episode. I thought that would have been another great moment for him, because he's definitely the more like sensitive one of those three.
Yeah.
And so I would have thought it would have been really great if they pulled him in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We see Harley, and Harley doesn't really have a lot to say about sex or marriage. I don't think that he knows, or not marriage, but sex and love, which makes me think that, like, Harley is, like, a big virgin, but, like, a secret virgin.
I could totally see that,
He's, like, never had a girl in his life, because girls are, like, probably afraid of him, and B, like, they probably think that he's hot, but, like,
well, how many times has he failed too? Like, is he also, like, too old to be sleeping with high schoolers now?
Probably. I think he I mean, I think that he's probably like 19.
Yeah, I feel 20. Like, he's definitely over 18 at this point.
Definitely over 18. But yeah, so he at first was like, I'm gonna beat you up because you're, like, hanging out in my hallways, which, number one, like, if I was Corey at this point, I would just be like, dude, you're not going to beat me up. You've never beat me up. Like, you haven't even touched me. Like,
prove it.
Like, everything that you've said is an empty threat. So, like, come at me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always, like, the threat of bullying that's more scary than the actual, like, act of it actually happening, I think.
Yeah. Harley hasn't touched. Well, he's, like,
he tried to. He tried to.
But he's never achieved. So, they make a deal. If you're in the movie, then don't beat me up or take my $3.
Yes.
And then, yeah, so he, but, like, Harley is like, yeah, like, Joey, like, what's my opinion on, like, sex and love? And, like, so Joey has to, like, sub in. Corey doesn't want to be interviewed. Like, he does not, like, want it.
He refuses. Turner, I loved what Turner was saying, and I love how Corey catches him in, like, a, not a lie or anything, but, like, the Turner says that love is, like, the most important thing in the world. It's the only thing making sex worth having. And then Corey's like, oh, so have you had sex? And he's like, well, yeah. And he's like, but I thought you said you haven't been in love. So how you which also, Turner never having been in love is wild to me.
I don't think that, how old do you think Turner's meant to be? Like, 27, maybe?
I would put him in late 20s, early 30s.
Okay.
So if that's the case, to never having been in your love at that point in your life, I mean, that seems,
honestly, it's a little bit
a handsome teacher.
It's a little bit of a red flag. I tell all of my friends, like, I would, at this point in my life, I would rather you date somebody on Tinder that's been divorced, rather than somebody that's, like, 33 and never been married and never been in a serious relationship.
I do think it is
scarier.
I do think it's a bit of a red flag to not having, but, like,
or, like, a long-term relationship and a broken engagement, like, but, like, to never be, like, in a long-term relationship at 33 seems a little scary to me.
Yeah, I agree. I just think it's kind of unbelievable to me that Turner's never been in love. Like, that seems like a stretch. You think somebody.
No, I believe it. I believe it. I think that he probably had, like, a lot of fun in his 20s.
Fair. Especially that, if he was nowadays, my God, he'd be all over Tinder.
Oh, my God. He would be hopping the Tinder.
Yes.
like, raging hard at the Tinder.
Yes.
So, Feeny's opinion is still, like, don't talk about it. Don't do it on school property. And he just cares about the camera equipment.
Yeah.
Then Corey goes home and interviews his family, which is like, really, Corey? Like, you're really going to bring this up with your family?
Maybe it was a requirement, though. Like, maybe. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if they were like, you have to interview adults, too.
Maybe. So Eric is just using it as his own, like, dating profile.
This is going to be viewed by seventh graders, Eric. Like, what are you thinking?
Well, I mean, it seems like Eric doesn't really mind dating seventh graders, unfortunately.
Eric is too much sometimes. He is. This is the episode he was too much in.
Amy and Alan.
Amy's cracked me up.
I like her. I like her comparison.
It's like voting. It's a privilege. You want to research who you're voting for. And Alan says it's like you go, 'cause you go behind a curtain and you get the job done.
And then you don't see them again in 4 years.
That, honestly, that cracked me up so much. Those, like, lines. Oh, my God.
Yeah, marriage, I mean, I'm not married, but it's always a stereotype that once you're married, the sex goes out the door. Can't speak for that, but.
I just feel like Amy and Alan don't seem like they're in a sexless marriage, especially last episode, but the one before last week.
We were getting, like, sexy lingerie.
Exactly. Yeah,
they're getting it. I'm not worried for Amy and Alan's sex life.
Yeah. But they had that was like a really funny scene, I thought. Mm-hmm. And then flash forward to Corey and Topanga are found sleeping in the editing room. Feeny is, like, in my opinion, unreasonably angry.
I know. I don't really understand. Like, obviously it was a mistake. I mean,
they're fully clothed. Weird. Like,
I know. It is a little weird, though. Like,
and it's weird, but, like, he knows Corey and Topanga, right? Like, he practically fucking stalks Corey. Like, he knows that they're not, like, having sex in there. Like, it's very obvious to me that they fell asleep with their clothes on.
Yeah. I mean, their house is bugged as fuck. Like, mm-hmm. Feeny knows.
Feeny would be the first to know if Corey lost his virginity because the house is so fucking bugged.
He would. Yeah.
But because he's a spider and he has all his little birds that will bring him his information.
That too. So, I mean, if anyone should be upset is Amy and Alan, because they wake up at 7 o'clock and their kid's not home. Like, where's their kid? Like, if anybody should be upset, it's Amy and Alan. Like, not fucking Feeny. Like, get a grip, dude. Like, who cares? Well, no, like, I think it's like, I mean, I think that if they were seniors and they were found together, maybe that would be like a little bit different, but they're kids.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just one of those things where it's like, I would, if I'm Amy, I'm pissed that Alan fell asleep on the couch and my kid is missing.
Like, well, what is he supposed to do?
Stay up. This kid comes home. Yeah. He fucking wakes Corey up to watch baseball. The least he could do is stay awake when Corey's not home. The way Feeny reacts bothers me. And then obviously, so he's like, you know, we're going to talk to your parents, whatever, go home. They walk out. The entire school is like clapping,
which is insanity.
Yeah, word spreads fast. And
how? Who told them? Janitor Bud? That's fucked up.
I don't know. Probably Janitor Bud. Yeah, maybe it's Janitor Bud who's the Janitor Bud is one of Feeny's birds.
Confirmed. I can see that. Well, like, Janitor Bud probably told Harley, and Harley probably told the whole school.
That's probably right. Yeah. So Sean comes up to Corey and is like, oh, are you a god? Are you the man? And that's when Corey gives in and he's like, guess I'm the man.
Yeah, like that. So, like, yeah, because Harley comes up and is like hyping him up too. And it's like, yeah, Corey's literally like, you know, and Topanga's in the corner watching this whole interaction go down and she's humiliated. Like, poor thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel so bad for Topanga. And the fact that she doesn't just go, like, punch Corey in the face, like, good on her. Because I would be so upset. Well, like,
yeah.
She takes it rather well considering the circumstances. Corey's, like, popular. And
well, does the entire school really think this little dweeb, like, really had sex with Topanga?
Here's the thing. I don't think Topanga's popular right now. So I think that they view the two of them as, like, similar.
Two dweebs?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they think Topanga's as dweeby, but I mean, in season one, she certainly was, right? Like, she sat at the dweeb table. I just
wouldn't buy that, like, they had sex. Like, no, maybe, I mean, maybe kissed. I would believe kissed.
I think sex. That it's like, it's just the school, right? Like, when you're a teenager, I think it's a lot easier to believe stupid things because you want to gossip, I think, is probably more,
I guess so,
reasonable. But yeah, but now, so Corey's home and he's just like super proud of how popular he is, and like Sean bursts in talking about how he's a god.
Yeah,
and I love Alan in this
too.
Part.
Me too.
Alan comes in and he's like, oh, why is Corey so popular, Sean? Like, what did he do?
Yeah.
Like, It was so good.
No, it's Alan's best showing in a lot of episodes, probably since season one.
I agree.
To be like, you know, what is there to be proud of? You know, you humiliated a girl. Like, you're lying about something that you did. Like, you know, it's I like this a lot.
It's a very bad look from Corey. And I love how Alan is like very quick to call it out. And I especially love that when Topanga comes over, Aim and Alan are like, oh, he's in here, Topanga. You guys are going to hash this out. We're going to leave. Like, I really appreciated them kind of giving the kids that space to kind of like talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And also the fact that like if Amy and Alan were there for Corey's buffer, that would make it a lot more comfortable for Corey. And Corey deserved a
lot less comfortable for Topanga.
And Corey deserved to, you know, listen to everything that Topanga said genuinely and really, like, you know, get, like, I don't know, like, get her word in. And I don't know what I'm trying to say.
No, I agree with you. I think, like, again, I'm really impressed. We talk about this a lot on Dawson's Creek with how emotionally intelligent especially the women are on the show. Young women, I should say, right? They're teenagers on that show. And again, I appreciate that with Topanga as well right here. Like, I just think that what she says here, obviously writers are writing this for her, but Topanga as a character says here, you want me? Take me. Go ahead and do it. Aren't you the man? I want my good name back. I used to like you. You used to be a good friend, and now I don't know what you are, but I don't like you. And I just feel like that is so succinct. It's so perfect. Like, you took something from me. If you want, you know what? You lied. So if you're the man, let's do it right now so you could prove that it's not a lie. You know, like,
I think
if you want
is...
me, take me, because I don't have my reputation anymore. You took that from me.
Yeah, great, great point. And I think that this is, like, a continuation of why Topanga is such a great character. Like, Topanga is not, like, a gen. Like, Topanga is... Yeah.
She's fiery.
Speaks her mind. Like, she always stands up for herself. She's always been a strong woman. She's always been the smartest in the room. She's always been the most well-spoken in the room. And she continues to be so. And that's why Topanga is, like, a person or, like, a character to look up to. That's why, you know, Sarah at 10 years old looked up to her. Like,
she's a strong woman.
A great representation of a female on television.
Yeah. And I appreciate, too, that, like, thinking more about it, like, timeline-wise, this all happens at school. Topanga goes home, talks to her parents, whatever, has time to really think about what she's going to say. And then she comes over and... Again, she calls Corey out. Like, she doesn't punch him. She doesn't slap him. There's no physical violence like you might see, right? She doesn't throw water in his face or something very dramatic teen dramas would do.
Yeah, like typically you would see them get slapped or something like that. But she uses the power of word.
I love that. You know what I mean? You took my reputation. I want it back. I want this corrected. Yeah. You used to be my friend. Like, I don't know who you are. I don't recognize who you are anymore. This isn't the Corey I know that does something like that. And I think that, like, without that conversation with Topanga, Corey doesn't do what he does next. I don't think any adult talking to him would get through to him enough to make him do the next thing that he does.
You're right. You're absolutely right. So back at school, you know, Turner's going to show Corey and Topanga's tape. There's a lot of, like, annoying seventh grade ooze, which is so annoying. But yeah, very true. Like, that shit happened all the time.
Yep.
Feeny comes because he's always up everybody's ass, like we were saying before. But he doesn't have faith that the students actually learned a lesson from this whole process. And Turner's like, well, like, the only way we'll know is if we watch the tapes, which is, like, kind of backwards. Like, maybe he should have just, like, watched the tape beforehand to make sure. Harley's there because he wants to see his big television debut. But also, I think he wants to see if Corey is, like, really the man, which is, like, also still annoying.
Yeah.
So the tape plays. They play the tapes.
Yeah. And basically, Corey makes... edits the whole thing, and so it ends up being like, it has Topanga talking about how love is very special between two people, and you know, Sean has the joke about you know, falling in love 5 times a day. They do have to play the joke on Feeny where he says not on school property or whatever. yeah. Which was very funny. But yeah, and then at the end he basically has like an apology to Topanga that like I made this up, I shouldn't have done it. Here's the thing. Corey could have cut out that part where Sean says, like, oh, you like her, tell you love her, or whatever. Yep. And he kept that shit in.
Oh, yeah, because he already loves Topanga.
Yeah, he wants her to know it. Yeah. He's too shy to tell her, but that's his Leo way of doing it, you know? Getting around it. Yeah, gotta proclaim it to the whole fucking class.
Yep. Yeah, so, you know, I think that Topanga and Corey like shake hands and ultimately like agree that they're friends, because that was, you know, like, he wasn't being a good friend. Like, Corey like wasn't being a good guy and he wasn't being a good friend. And I think that outing himself and telling the truth was what Topanga was hoping for.
Yeah. Yeah, and they kind of, like, this is where they make up and, well, you know, like, they shake hands, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, they shake hands, yeah.
But, like, obviously this is just the beginning. I love the way this wrapped up. Mm-hmm. I think that this is what I want out of, like, my Corey Topanga interactions, not the bullshit one scene we got last episode. Like, this is the kind of episode that I want dedicated to the Corey and Topanga saga. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but it's wrapped in like this beautiful bow of a moral lesson and just kind of a human lesson. Like, it's not just for teenagers. Like, lying is hurtful and it's rude and it's really mean. And it shows how nasty kids, teens, adults even can be when it comes to sex and scandal. And like the fact that this poor girl, all it takes is falling asleep in a room overnight with a guy for rumor to spread and for her quote unquote good name to be tarnished. And even if she did have sex with Corey, what the fuck business is it of anybody else? You know, it's just, it's infuriating. Yeah. He's a hero and she's a slut. And it's a tale as old as fucking time.
Exactly. Like, we see this all the time. And, like, I think that, you know, Corey says in this video, like, you know, you would think that after, like, 400 years or how many years, like, we would have had it figured out by now. And he said we're maybe not quite as advanced as we would think or hope. And I would say, like, you know, obviously we're removed from school, but I think that there's still, like, a lot of work to be done. Like, I still don't think that society has 100% figured this out. Like, of course there's plenty of women that are, you know, very honest about their like sexual relations and are proud of it, but then there's still as many people that still slut shame women and prop men up on a pedestal for the amount of partners that they have or having sex in general. And I think that's something that we still, I mean, this episode was like, what, 20 years ago? We still haven't figured it out.
No, we still haven't figured it out. And I do think like the timelessness of this episode, I mean, beyond the fact that like, you know, they're recording these people on like VHS tapes and they don't have cell phones to text their parents and tell them where they are or whatever. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, this is still a very timeless, like, you could show this to a kid right now, right? Like, you could show this to, and I think,
I love about Women's World.
Yeah, it's really relatable even now. And I think, like, I haven't watched any teen, kid, adolescent, whatever, shows lately.
I think we need to watch Euphoria.
Oh, I love Euphoria. I've seen Euphoria.
Oh, see, then you've seen it. Yeah.
Yeah, but Euphoria is also much more, like, adult. Like, it's on HBO, right? Like, it's more cutting edge than Boy Meets World is, for sure.
I gotta tell you, this would not be an issue because you would have Track My Phone on your iPhone and yeah, the parents right. would just like be like, oh, they're at the school. Yeah, and then they would go right to the school.
That's fair. I just think like it is like still something that's relevant today, which is what I love about it. I mean, I wish it wasn't as relevant. I wish we could solve this issue, but I just, it's not going to happen anytime soon. So it was a great episode. Like, I loved this episode. I'm happy we ended up doing a double up, just because season six, if we had to spend an entire podcast dedicated to season six, like, I just think that we would have trashed the whole thing and it would have been fun. But I'd rather talk more about an episode that has a better message and is way more meaningful in the long term of Boy Meets World.
Me too.
And then we get to the after credits where it's just Harley talking about like love
his perfect date. Yeah,
it's so weird. Yeah,
he's like, yeah, like my perfect date would just be like us hanging out in our car. Yeah, and you know, like she would like, wait, he says something about cigarettes. Like, I don't know, Harley.
I don't know what he was talking about, but yeah, it was pretty funny. Again, this is a good episode. I really enjoyed it. I would watch it again. Like, honestly, like it was a good one. It'd be one I'd go back to. I think it's up there as one of my favorites that we've seen thus far.
Oh, that's awesome. Definitely like a favorite of season two, right?
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. We do have one email from our friend Cody Patterson. So he didn't have much to say about Wake Up Little Corey, but like, why? But it's fine. It's fine. So he says about Who's Afraid of Corey Wolf, hashtag six shit 90s fun fact. Monday, October 31st, 1994, the moon was in a waning crescent, which means that only 14% of the moon is visible, and moon was closer to a new moon than a full moon. Calling these bitches out.
I know. Another problem with the episode. Another
problem. Also, daylight savings time ended on October 30th, so they turned their clocks back at 1 o'clock. Therefore, Corey had an extra hour to figure out how to not be a werewolf. Amazing.
These facts are amazing.
Amazing. Amazing.
I love the research put into this.
Fantastic. I know. No. Hashtag sick, shit 90s fun facts. Hard to say when you're a glass of wine into a podcast, but an excellent hashtag.
I love it. I love it. I love these. This is fantastic. Yeah. That's very funny. And call those bitches out, Corey. Come on.
Yeah. Corey should have known that he was not becoming a werewolf. It's the stupidest shit in the world.
It is so stupid. Ugh.
Follow-up question. Did you all have any myths as a kid that you believed that were true?
Yeah. I don't know if it's... Well, obviously, we did mention this on a different podcast, the Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary thing that we both fell for. When I was a kid, my brother, I don't know if this happens to you, but like when you cry, your eyelashes kind of fall out more like than usual. Anyway,
Jessica, if really I hard lost crier. An eyelash for every time I cried, I would be eyelashless.
Fair. When I cried when I was a kid, sometimes my eyelashes would fall out. And my brother told me that if I lost all my eyelashes, I wouldn't be able to blink. And it made me cry harder because I was nervous about not being able to blink. So fuck you, Jeffrey. You're a dick.
Jessica, don't say that. Jessica, why does he listen one day?
He would literally never. If he makes it to season
you
two.
To your brother. Are you kidding me?
If he makes it to season two, episode six of a podcast that I have on Boy Meets World, please. I love you so much, Jeffrey. If you make it this far, I love you. There you go.
Do you always call him Jeffrey?
Yes.
Really?
My dad is Jeff, so.
Oh, okay.
Look at that. Everybody's learning things about me today.
Yeah, it's spreading all the fun facts.
Mm-hmm.
So as a little Jewish girl, I learned very early on that anything that was mystical was probably a lie. So I knew the whole time that Santa wasn't real. So I kept I kept that secret from you, you fuckers. I hope you appreciate me.
You stupid Christian people. I had to keep secrets
from
you. No,
I did. I don't. I never said stupid Christian people. Don't put those words in my mouth, Jessica. I'm so kidding. Never said that.
I feel like I'm allowed to say it because I grew up Christian.
Jessica, don't put those words in my mouth. I did not say that.
I said
never said that. I just said that I kept the secret for you because I'm a good girl.
There you go. Good Jewish girl keeps her secrets.
I knew about that. Knew about the Easter bunny. And then have I ever told on a podcast my story about the tooth fairy?
Yeah. Wait. I know it. So you must know have told it on this. You must have told it on the podcast.
Or I told
no?
you personally. I'm not quite sure. Long story short, if you don't know the story, I learned very, very early on that the tooth fairy wasn't real because I was a late tooth grower. No, loser. Probably grower too. I don't
you
know.
You were a late loser.
I don't know like how soon I grew teeth, but I lost teeth very late. So it wasn't until the first grade that I lost my first tooth. And I think typically people lose their teeth like in kindergarten.
A lot earlier than that.
So
yeah.
I only had one time in a make-believe land that I lost a tooth, because the second time I ever lost a tooth, I showed it to my mom and she dropped it in the couch and I had a full-on meltdown screaming and crying that the tooth fairy was never going to come to me because the tooth was lost. And I was like freaking out, like full-on meltdown, almost as bad as my meltdown when I thought that I wasn't going to be able to get my video tape of Spice World because I thought it was going to get all sold out, almost as big as that meltdown. And my mom literally yelled at me and told me that the tooth fairy wasn't real and
so
that she was the tooth fairy to make me shut the fuck up. So I did not believe in pretty much anything mystical when I was a kid because I had to hold all the, and then
you had to
guess
hold
what?
All the secrets.
Another secret.
Yeah.
No tooth fairy, but they couldn't know. They couldn't know.
I would still demand that I get paid for losing teeth.
No,
like,
no
that's
cash.
Not fair.
There was no cash rendered.
It's tragic.
For
truly.
My lost teeth.
Truly tragic.
Even
yeah.
as an adult, had to get a wisdom tooth extracted. No cash.
Your mom's like, I had to pay for all of this, so I'm not paying you anything for losing teeth.
Oh, yeah, pretty much.
Awful.
Pretty much.
Oh, it's awful.
Yeah, so. Life be hard, but that's why we're resilient, and that's why we're appreciative of therapy.
There you go.
So thank you, Cody. Thanks for that.
Shall we move on to the fashion hour?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is obviously a combo fashion hour. So when I talk through these outfits, I'm going to mention what episode they were in. So first up, the Rachel Green Award for the most 90s outfit. We have, I'm looking at the order that you, oh, here we go. Okay. The first one is Topanga from episode 7. This is when she comes to confront Corey about what he has done. She is wearing a long floral maxi skirt, kind of like a purpley or like a brown, it's kind of hard to tell, with like splotchy flowers on it. She has a turtleneck tucked in, or it's cropped, it's kind of hard to tell.
I white think it's turtleneck. Tucked in.
I think it is too. Yeah. Okay, so let's say a tucked in white turtleneck that's like ribbed, a long necklace like down below the boobs. And she has what boobs she has, you know what I mean, below the chest. And she has on a jean jacket that's like a light wash cropped jean jacket that's cuffed. She's wearing a couple different rings as well. And then her hair is actually more straight than it usually is. Just a little bit of curl at the bottom. And she has it pulled back kind of in like a half up like claw clip look. And of course, she has her tiny bangs.
Yeah.
We didn't get to see the bottoms because she didn't really. They love close up shots. So sometimes it's hard to tell.
I love this outfit. Like, I honestly really do. I like a floral maxi that's, like, a little high-waisted. I love turtlenecks. You know I do. So this white turtleneck that's like kind of ribbed is giving me life. Like, I wish I had it. I like this jean jacket. Like, I love her hair because, like, how can you not?
Yeah.
I love everything about this. I, like, when I was watching this episode, it was obviously something that I saw right away and that I really liked.
Yeah, I think it's a great outfit, personally, yeah.
Yeah.
Next up, we have Amy from episode 6. She has on kind of like a gray trouser pant, high-waisted pant, a cream button-down blouse that's pretty, like, billowy. And then, honestly, the kind of the eye, the thing that catches your eye the most is the vest.
Oh, yes.
It's like gold and red, like, vertical stripes.
Yeah.
Like it's a button, like, down vest.
Yeah, it's like a carnival tent.
It fabric. Really looks like a carnival. Yeah, yeah. She looks like a carnival tent.
Or like she's the type of girl that like passes out the popcorn at the circus.
Yes, she's the ticket girl. Yeah.
Yeah, she's the ticket girl. It's trash, this vest.
It's awful.
Yeah, it's pretty ugly. But it is pretty 90s. I mean, we got some puffy sleeves. Vests are very 90s. She's like, this is like her work outfit. Like, she's out of real estate. She's now in gallery art distribution, or a gallery, galator.
What yeah. is it? I That's have not no a word. Idea. Gallery owner?
She's selling something? Paintings on the double. But yeah, I mean, it's trash, but it's fine.
It's there. It's whatever.
It exists.
I did not even notice this until this moment, but my next outfit has like a duplicate piece. So we have Topanga from episode 6, when Corey runs into her in the hallway. She's wearing like a light wash, like a waste paper bag. Or is that what it's called? Waste paper bag? Pants,
yeah.
Jeans?
Yeah.
With a giant chunky belt, like real chunky black belt, like coming, cinching in very high.
They don't make belt loops that big anymore.
No, bitch. That is a big ass belt loop. Huge pockets, too. She has on the same white turtleneck. I love that. Well, it's maybe not. It does look the same.
I think it's the same.
I love that they reuse pieces.
Yeah. To be honest with you, I saw this outfit and I loved it. And I think it's because it's the turtleneck again.
It's the turtleneck, yeah. And then over top of that, she's wearing like a blue sweater, a cardigan type of thing with kind of like a, what'd you call that? Like an applique on the front?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like some a beaded sort of, like, applique.
Beaded applique, yeah.
Yeah. Hair is yeah. half up, half down with some curly pieces. I really liked her hair actually as well in this episode.
Yeah. I mean, I really like this outfit, too. I like the pants.
Those
like
pants are back in style now.
They are back in style. Mm-hmm. You know I love the turtleneck. Like, I thought I noticed this outfit, and I liked it, too. So, honestly, like, this is probably one of my hardest decisions mm-hmm. between the episode 7 Topanga and episode 6 Topanga, because I honestly like them a lot, both. By the way, Miss Topanga was wearing a black bra in the episode 6 Topanga, which you can't do with cream, my love. Like,
no.
You can't.
Get a nude bra, girl. She's new to bras.
Bra,
it's okay.
A white
okay.
bra. Like, you can't do a black bra. It's fine. You're young. You don't know. So because of that reason, I feel like I had to dock a couple points.
And give it to the
some that's arbitrary fair.
I like
reason.
The other one better though. Anyway, honestly,
yeah,
like I like episode 7.
Episode 7 Topanga with her Ooh. Jean jacket and her floral skirt. I'm gonna style give it icon. To her. Yeah.
Yes, we love it. Next up, the Paul Rudd certificate of timelessness for the most timeless outfit. Honestly, I was like scoping the episode trying to find outfits, and to me, there just weren't
right?
a ton.
Yeah.
The first one comes from Eric in episode 6. It's when he's talking to Corey about being a werewolf. He's wearing a light wash denim jean. The reason I included this was because I really loved Eric's like oatmeal sweater. It looks so cozy and warm.
It looks so cozy. Like, honestly, I would want to snuggle Eric just to get close to that sweater.
Yes, it looks, and it's so baggy too. Like, it looks so warm to like cuddle up in the winter.
You know, if I would wear that sweater, but with black leggings and like little boots, and I would be like 100%. Bopping around, super happy.
I completely agree. And he has his Apple Watch on, of course.
It's his Apple Watch. I see it. It's right there, and it looks very Apple-y.
Yes. Next up, we have Amy from episode 7 when they're chastising Corey for what he did to Topanga in the kitchen. Yeah. She is wearing a, looks like a black trouser pant and then a red sweater. I'm just going to say that Sarah grabs the screenshots for me because I can't grab snippets of Disney anymore. Apple apparently is the only one that allows it still. So Sarah has to always grab them.
Yeah, don't say that out loud.
No one rat us out. But Sarah grabs the snippets and she grabbed a snippet of like side boob for the texture of the sweater. And she writes for texture, not a boob shot, which I appreciate and think is very funny. It's like it's a very like crocheted look kind of sweater. So
yeah, the sweater looks like a really nice knit. It's it has like a nice texture to it, which I really liked. She's wearing like a necklace that also looks like there's like some red gems in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice outfit for Amy. I like it a lot. I can see somebody wearing it now, but I'm definitely going to give it to Eric this week because we talked about snuggling in the nook on our When Harry Met Sally podcast.
Yeah, if you're a Posher Recaps Theater a Posher Recaps patron and you haven't checked that out, go check it out on Posher Recaps Theater.
Yeah, or become a Post Show Recaps patron.
Or do that.
It's only $5.
Yeah, PosherRecaps.com/Patreon.
Yeah. But I say this because I want to snuggle in the nook with the sweatshirt. I like it a lot. Not necessarily Eric, just the sweater.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't want to snuggle Eric. All right, so Topanga and Eric, congratulations on your awards this episode.
Congrats. Well done.
Yeah. This is great. How are you feeling about the two-episode format? I think it worked out, especially this week, being that we really didn't care for episode 6.
I think that it's going to work out pretty well. I also think that there's going to be weeks where we have a lot to say about both episodes. Mm-hmm. So this is the average length of our average episode. But I would anticipate that they might run a little bit longer.
I would anticipate closer to an hour 30 most weeks rather than hour 10 that we were normally averaging.
Right. So I honestly think that I think it is definitely going to be a really good format. I think it's going to help us get to, it's not so much like, it's what you were saying before of like, it'll help us get to a certain point of our podcast sooner, but also it's really getting into like the good stuff sooner.
Yeah, exactly. And we've completely said that like if we found an episode that we want to stop down on and do one episode for that particular one episode for that particular podcast, we will do that because we want to make sure we're giving those moments there's like time in the spotlight.
Right.
Like so,
season
4
has so many good episodes and so does season 5, and it's like, you know, it's almost like we're excited to cover some of that stuff. And it's like, you know, why are we going to waste an hour and a half talking about fucking Wolf Boy? Like, I can't.
Exactly. Exactly. And it also, like we said before, it just gives us the flexibility that we're looking for our podcast. Because we always said, like, this isn't a Boy Meets World only podcast. It's one of the shows we cover. It's one of the things we cover. Yeah. We want to be able to cover a lot more stuff. So,
but also interested in hearing if anybody has any opinions.
Absolutely.
I want to know. We love
feedback on it. And speaking of feedback, send it in shit90spod@gmail.com, @shit90spod for Instagram and Twitter.
Yes.
5 stars, ratings, the whole spiel we usually give.
Yeah, on iTunes.
Coming up next, season 2 episodes 8 and 9 are on the docket. So get your feedback in. We're going to be covering those next week. Covering Dawson's Creek as always. Loving that. It's very fun for us. I think we're having a good time. We're finishing out Mary-Kate and Ashley March. I'm sad that it's over. I'm happy because, like, It's been, I'm like sad that we're going to be done talking about it, but maybe we could do another March next year of more Mary-Kate and Ashley stuff. It was so much fun. If you haven't checked any of that out, my God, what are you doing? Go listen to our bracket. Go listen to our It Takes Two talk with Melissa Denny. Coming up, we have the Full House podcast with Felipe Shimon from the Brazilian Dragon podcast coming out this Saturday.
Yes.
I'm getting my schedule mixed up when we record and when things come out. Yes, it'll be coming out this Saturday.
Saturday the 27th. That was a lot of fun. We talked a lot about Disney, so.
Yeah, if you like Disney, definitely give that a listen. A lot of Disney talk.
Lots of Disney. Because how can you not when we're filming at Disney World, you know?
And talking with Felipe. Like, it's bound to come up, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But tons of fun, tons of stuff coming up. You know, April, it's not, there's no like firm like Mary-Kate Ashley theme, but
we don't have a theme for that month.
We have bonus content already planned for April, so definitely tune in for that. And yeah, follow us at Shit 90s Pod, as Jess said. Follow Jess and all of her endeavors. If you're on the Club Hizzy, come find me and have fun chilling with me. She hates me.
Listen, it's fine. Sarah is famous now on Clubhouse. So
I'm not famous. Mm. I just have my show. I have a show.
So, yes, keep following along. We appreciate you for listening. Stay safe. Stay healthy. Hope everybody is good out there. And we will talk to you all next time.
Just bye. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You've worked hard for what you have, your money, your assets, your 401k, and home. Isn't it all worth protecting? Nearly 1 in 4 consumers have been a victim of identity theft. LifeLock Ultimate Plus helps protect your finances with up to $3 million in reimbursement. LifeLock alerts you to identity threats you might miss. And if your identity is stolen, your dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. Let LifeLock help protect what you've worked so hard for. Save 25% off your first year on LifeLock Ultimate Plus at LifeLock.com/aware. Terms apply.